The Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel present Kurt Wallace's The Flow. Real interviews with real people revealing real truths. Heard exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel and available online at veritasradionetwork.com. Radio, the way it should be.
Presented by Veritas Radio Network, I'm Kurt Wallace, and this is The Flow. Our guest today is Tony Styles, award-winning entrepreneur, venture capitalist, talk show host, and campaign manager for Peterson for President. He sits down with me to discuss his life and business and the personal reasons that drove him to retire in his early 30s. He talks about the downside of being a successful persona. He explains his deep faith in God, and he tells us why his new mission in life is fighting human trafficking and rescuing child sex slaves. This is an interview you won't hear anywhere else. Tony, thanks for spending time with us today on The Flow.
It is absolutely my pleasure, Kurt.
Now, we got a chance to meet at the Libertarian Convention in Georgia, and it was great meeting you in person. I love your energy. There's definitely something about you and the way that you approach other people and just your attitude about people that it had that. I started to think, okay, this is what anarchists are like, is that they just embrace the world and they embrace people for who they are.
Oh, absolutely. I think that there's, within political realms and even personal, there's a lot can be said for somebody that can approach any situation in the idea that we don't have to have everything in common. We don't have to tear each other down because of our differences. We can celebrate each other's similarities instead.
So, Tony, you grew up in Nebraska.
I did. I'm a Cornhusker.
You are? Okay. I was going to ask you that. I have some Cornhusker coasters, and my grandfather grew up in Craig, Nebraska. My dad grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska from 5 years old. He was a Russian immigrant, and there was a Russian community there. What was it like growing up in the Midwest for you?
I love the Midwest. It is where I always consider home. I don't really have a place where I hang my hat. I'm kind of a wanderer. I tend to just go wherever I'm needed the most. But Nebraska will always be where home is. And Nebraska is a very special place to me. My dad, who passed away years ago, he was a big influence on my life, personally, in business, spiritually. And we're both big Nebraska fans, as was my grandpa, and goes back even further. And I have just stuff from past ages of Nebraska football that are in boxes, just waiting for one day when I finally hang my hat somewhere to display.
For your man cave.
Yeah.
Well, sorry to hear about your dad. Would you be willing to talk about your family at all?
I can talk about my dad. The rest of my family, I try to keep that. I try to keep things just in my world, my political and spiritual philosophy, because there was an interview once, Johnny Carson, who's also a Nebraska native, with Marlon Brando, also a Nebraska native.
Really?
Where they were both talking on the Tonight Show. And I remember watching, when I was very young, Marlon Brando saying something that stuck with me. He was being asked about his personal life, and he said that there's nothing more disgusting or discouraging to me than someone that wants to display their personal life as part of their celebrity status.
Mm. So in that respect, then there's a kind of a sense of anonymity. That, you know, it's interesting. I interviewed Ron Paul one time, and I wanted to ask about who he was. And what came out of that was that all we need to know about him is that he's anonymous. The things he does in that kind of a spiritual mindset, that he's not looking for accolades or to get credit for it, and certainly not to build himself up as, you know, the mask of Ron Paul being something to prop up. And that's there's something quite nice about that. About
just wanting to take care of the issues and leaving all that personal stuff to be Just kind of a side note on things. You know, really, it's. I don't think it would be of much interest to people to find out, you know, about my family all that much. They're great people. I love them deeply, and we all have our scars and different things. But when it comes down to it, family's family and business is business.
From the aspect of having a parent die, there is something that can, if there is something that you want to share about your experience there, the good, bad, and the ugly, that may be of benefit to someone else. Is there anything that you said you'd be willing to talk about your dad?
Sure, yeah. Well, my dad, he was a very, very strong in character, very much like me. Same voice, same demeanor, same way that he dealt with people. Still had the same look on his face of, like, I'm a nice guy, but don't rub me wrong. The same look that I kind of have when I'm expressionless, just kind of wandering. And that's something we don't do on purpose. It's just the way that we are. And he always held his cards close to his face. Never really told anybody what he was thinking, what was on his mind, which is something that I took from him. He was a strong businessman. Never graduated high school, but went on to build one of the largest independent insulation contracting companies in the world by the time he passed away. Very, very intelligent, and was able to keep most of what he had in his head instead of displaying it all out there for people to kind of hold and use against him, I guess, is the main worry that he has. And it's something that worries me also. It's a very guarded sense that I have in a business mentality, and I protect my family, and I protect my personal life, because people will attack you based on those things rather than actual issues. And I always tell people, don't attack the person, attack the issue. And when people have any sort of firepower on your personal life, they will use it. There's a lot of speculation about my personal life. People talk about it, and they want to pretend like they know, but really nobody does, because I don't share that with people. My dad, he was the same way. You know, big guy, strong in his beliefs. And the main thing that I want people to understand, I guess it's not encouraging, but you know, when you have a parent that's close to you, and my dad was my best friend, when you have somebody like that that's close to you that passes away, your life is always separated into two spots. There's the before and the after. And what you did before, you can never get back. So make sure that you don't leave any regrets there. And then afterwards, there's a big sense of trying to honor that person through what you do in your personal life. And that's what I try to do.
It's interesting. I interviewed, you're the campaign manager for Austin Peterson.
Among many other things, that is definitely one of the things that I do. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's one of my best friends, and I love working with him. And this has just been a great experience. It's one of those things where I didn't apply for it. It wasn't something that was something I was seeking out to do. I had come back from Cambodia, and I was staying with Austin, and everybody was doing campaign stuff, and I have a strong business background, and I saw where things were going right and things that needed to be improved upon, and I gave Austin a letter and stayed up all night writing it. Had to get it off my brain, off my chest. And the next morning when he read it, he just told everybody, I think Tony should manage the campaign. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, yeah, I guess, you know, he's one of my very best friends, and I believe in his campaign. I wouldn't want it to be in anybody else's hands.
I actually interviewed him for this particular show. That interview, he talked about his mom passing away, and there was a similar kind of sharing that he gave. And one of those aspects is that, and I've seen this with him. I mean, I feel this when I've talked to him one on one, when I've met him in person, that he makes sure that he lets people know how he feels about them in a positive way. And that's what he said during our interview. You know, I want people to know that I love them every day. He said, I call my dad every day and I tell him I love him. And that, you know, that aspect of expression, I was amazed by that vulnerability. And that's something that I noticed in doing some research about you, that you use love as an action verb.
Yeah, absolutely. Love is something that you definitely need to express. It's there's a Bible verse out there, you know, faith without works is dead, just paraphrasing the verse. And that's something that I apply to every piece of my life. Love without works is dead. What's the use of just saying you love something or someone or a cause and not doing anything about it? And I approach every situation with that mentality. I want to make sure that people feel loved. And I do that through action. You know, I've done a lot of missionary work. I've worked with a lot of organizations, and there are people that no matter what you do, no matter how you treat them or whatever happens, they will no matter how much love you show them, they may not show it back. And that's something that that hurts me sometimes, but I just have to look at the big picture of things, you know. I did what I could.
So in terms of business, you started, I think, in you were a teenager, right? You started your first business when you were a teenager. And
I did.
Yeah. I mean, your story is pretty remarkable, and I would love to hear more about it. Have you always been entrepreneurial in mind? And
yeah, I was always raised with the idea that you didn't go out and find a job. And still to this day, I've never applied for a job. I don't even have a resume. Mm-hmm. I've never built one. Everything that I've done has been on my own. What happened initially was in high school, a couple of my buddies, a couple of the nerdy kids in my class, class below me, as a matter of fact, they said they had an idea that they wanted to explore. It was the 90s and people were building websites. They said they wanted to build websites. And I said, that's not really something that interests me very much because everybody's doing it. You know, why would we want to get into something that everybody can do and there's bigger businesses out there that can just swallow us up? Why would we want to do that? And they said, well, we have a better idea. What we want to do is we want to build websites on a platform. And I said, like a template. And then from there, that's where template websites kind of started. We ended up selling it off to a larger company about a year later, mm-hmm. for a significant amount of money. And from there, it just kind of went one direction for me.
So in terms of venture capital, then, you went into that realm. And
kind of, sort of. It wasn't an exact segue. I ended up going off to college. I went to Grace University, studied biblical studies and psychology, and got done, went off to Romania, and I worked in Romania and Bulgaria and Ukraine, a few places over there, just doing some human trafficking stuff, some stuff with Habitat, just here and there, wherever I could, because I had the stability to do something like that. And then it was when my dad passed away that I came back, and from there it was I had to kind of go full into business, and if a couple things happened in my life that I won't get into. Just in my personal life, but I dove myself into work, just head first, went into it, and it ended up being, gosh, it was about 15 years of work, that maybe a little bit less. It was about 13 years worth of work that I put in, and ended up selling my venture capital company to my COO, who is very capable of doing it. He was probably the brains behind it in the first place, to be honest, and he's still running things under a different name now, It worked out really well. You know, it was something that I found an aptitude for. Startup businesses are something that I love. I love getting into something that's brand new and kind of figuring out how it works. How can I, the secret to any business, how can I do it faster, better, and cheaper than everybody else? And when I can figure that out, I love that. And once I figure that out and I know how to do it, then it's all marketing. And I love marketing too. Mm. So it's the same as what I've applied to the Peterson campaign. How can I sell my product, which in this case is a presidential candidate? How can I do it faster, better, and cheaper than everybody else?
Yeah. Okay. Well, so in your quest to grow this business, then to find small companies, what do you look for? What was your how did you do this? Is it a feeling that you have, or how would you approach picking companies to work with?
Well, there's a long list of things. It kind of has to fall into place. You know, there's criteria that they have to meet. It's a lot like watching Shark Tank. And venture capitals can very much be just legalized loan sharking. You know, a lot of venture capital firms will get into venture capital simply because they want to find a weak business, take what they have, and get the people out of it, and then sell it off for a profit, which is, you know, not very nice for them to do. People need to read their contracts really, really carefully. But I wanted to get into businesses that excited me, that were just starting up, that showed they had capital and they were moving upwards. Because there's no sense in getting into something that's already dying. You know what? You don't buy a ship with a hole in the bottom of it. You know.
Now you talked about going to Romania and Ukraine and these various countries. Did you do you know another language?
I speak enough Romanian to get by. I speak enough Japanese to get by, and I speak enough Spanish to get by.
Okay.
But not fluently. Just like if I get into a taxi cab, I can tell them where I need to go. If I get into a grocery store, I can ask them where something is. Just basic needs for life. If I'm living in a country that speaks those languages.
Now your degree is in.
There's a couple of them.
Okay.
Religious
psychology. Is that what I heard you say?
I went to Grace University. They taught me biblical studies and psychology. Then I studied at King's College. I studied philosophy, politics, and economics. And then at Columbia University, I studied organizational development in a master's.
Why? Why would you go into these fields? These are all sort of social science.
Because they interested me. It's something that I like.
Human.
That's about it. You know, I just liked them. Those are things that that interest me, and I wanted to learn more about. And when you want to learn more about something, you can either pick up a book and fend for yourself, or you can find some professionals to teach it to you. And I opted to find some professionals to teach it to me.
Okay. In terms of spirituality, then, is that part of why you talk about doing missionary work? And is that part of why you wanted to study some of these things to kind of know how things fit together?
That was kind of a secondary thought. Initially, what it was when I went to Grace, which is in Omaha, my first thought was, you know, I had a lot of friends from church in the past that were going there, and it's a small school, and it seemed like a fun place to be. It was in town. I didn't have to go far away from my friends or my family. So I went there, and it was something that happens at Grace is that you get a biblical studies degree as a double major along with something else. That's just the way that they're put together.
Okay.
So I opted for psychology because it sounds so terrible, but it's a good story. Because the guys that I was living with, I had a house that was across the street that I bought, and I moved in. All these guys that were older than me that played for the basketball team, they all studied psychology too. So I figured, well, if I need any help, they're all experienced with these same teachers. I might as well go that route.
kind of scalp off the basketball players to
to
get the inside scoop on what the tests are all about. And
yeah, and they were a year ahead of me, so I always knew it was coming up.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's,
you know, back in the early 2000s, you know, you didn't have numerous computers. People didn't have a lot of laptops. We all used the same computer, so all their stuff was right there.
So really, you were kind of fast forwarding the mind reading techniques that psychologists have.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah,
by already seeing their notes.
Yeah, I knew everything that was going on. They already had the textbooks ready, so I didn't have to buy any. It was a strategic move, but
yeah, sure. Yeah, it's interesting because what I'm seeing is like you're involved in human trafficking rescue missions. And I mean, basically your college career, the things that you are interested in as politically, it just seems like it all fits together.
It does. It all. And it's been a long road.
Yeah. So the future will probably continue on this path, but you have retired.
And yeah, I retired from business.
And you're a young guy.
Yeah, I know. I was 34 when I retired. I'm 35 now, and I retire from business. There's no sense in me going any further. I've accomplished what I set out to accomplish. I could probably do more, but what's the point? You know, I mean, it's like they said in Wall Street, how many yachts can you ski behind? I don't need it. Mm-hmm. So I've always had this idea in my head. I want to go back and help people. I want to go back and help people, but there's always been something new that presents itself that keeps me from doing that. You know, another movie, The Godfather, every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. And that's kind of what kept on happening with me. And finally, my friends that had been over in Cambodia and all over Southeast Asia, who I had met in Romania and other places along my path to where I'm at, they kept on saying, for what you're doing, you need to go to Southeast Asia. You need to go to Southeast Asia. When's the time right? When's the time right? And I kept on telling them, you know, I had the radio show, I had the business, and all this stuff was going on. And I said, I don't know. The time's not right now. And I had the opportunity to renew my radio show and continue on with another syndicator. And I looked at it, and I had that voice in the back of my head saying, you know, do you want to continue on doing this, or is the time right now? And I looked at it, and I took the contract, and I threw it in the trash, and I said, nope, the time's right now.
Mm. Wow. So was that a difficult decision for you, or did you just know?
I just kind of knew. It hit me all at once. Yeah. And I'm one of those people, and I don't know how spiritual your audience is in things. You know, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ, my personal Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Bible thumper by any stretch of the imagination, and I'm not a dogmatic Christian. I believe that there is science in Christianity. For anybody to think otherwise is just crazy. We have too much... We're too far ahead in scientific times to deny that certain things have taken place, but that doesn't mean that it's separate from creationism. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to get into all that stuff. But what it came down to was looking at it and saying, is this the path that I want to be on? And it was a pretty simple thing. And I pray a very dangerous prayer. And I really do.
Give it to us. We want to hear it.
What I pray is I say, God, you know what's best for me. I don't know what's best for me. You know what's in my heart better than I do. You know everything about me. You know all the good and the bad. Mm. Take all the bad stuff away from me because I'm not smart enough to do it myself.
That's total surrender. That's total surrender. That's exactly what most of us are incapable of doing at any given moment. And that sounds like an incredible prayer.
It's been very dangerous. Because he does take things away from me very frequently. And
be careful what you pray for.
Exactly. And I don't always see it. And it kind of hits me like a ton of bricks when it happens. You know, why are you taking, you know, this, why are you taking this girl from me? Or why, you know, why is this happening in my life right now? And it just hits me like, oh, well, yeah, I've asked for this. This must be part of the plan that you have in place that I just don't know about. And you know what? I don't want to know. Just take it away and I'll go down the path you keep on pushing me towards.
Well, in that respect, it sounds like we're touching on what faith really means, and that's a knowing that I'm being taken care of and that I don't have to worry about what's happened in the past, what's going to happen in the future, because it doesn't exist anyway. And right now, I'm okay. It doesn't – whatever circumstances are, I'm getting to experience life as it unfolds, as it actually unfolds. A real acceptance of the state of being.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of where I've fallen. You know, it's really been, pardon me, it's been a rough past couple of years in that, because it's really started happening heavily the past couple of years. You know, you get a little bit of this, you know, I hate using the celebrity term. I don't really consider myself to be one, but you know, in certain circles, I do have some sway, and people listen to what I have to say, and they think it matters a lot. And, you know, sometimes I come up with some pearls and they cast before swine, and sometimes I come up with pearls that people just you know, they wear like a necklace. Mm-hmm. And the past 3 years, I've really found myself kind of selfishly playing a fame game, and that's not something I should have been doing. But I look back at it and have realized that it was never really about me. I did play the right game for the moment. But it was all for a purpose that was not at all what I was thinking about.
This is very interesting. Tony, we're going to have to take a break. Let's hold on to that thought about fame versus not fame. And we'll be back on the flip side of the break. You're listening to The Flow with Kurt Wallace, our special guest, Tony Styles.